Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, February 26th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 17th of Adar, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. There's huge news coming out of the West Bank. Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Mohammed Shtaya announced his resignation today, so that's Monday, to facilitate the establishment of a broad consensus among Palestinians regarding political arrangements post-Israel's war with Hamas. The move coincides with pressure from the United States on PA President Mahmoud Abbas to reform the authority in order to clear a path for the Palestinian Authority to have a more significant role in governing Gaza after the war. International efforts are underway to cease the fighting in Gaza and establish a political framework for governing the region after the conflict. Shtaya's resignation, pending Abbas's acceptance, could pave the way for Mohammed Mustafa, the chairman of the Palestine Investment Fund, to become the next prime minister. Keep in mind, there's a prime minister and a president within the Palestinian Authority. This signals a willingness by the Western-backed Palestinian leadership to accept changes necessary for revitalizing the PA, which the U.S. hopes will govern Gaza post-war. Again, so the U.S. has told the Palestinian Authority that they are tapping it to be the next leadership, but that they're going to need to make major reforms and changes. There are major challenges as groups like Fatah and Hamas are negotiating over a unity government, and Israel outright opposes the idea of PA rule over Gaza after the war at all. Israel does not want to see the Palestinian Authority do that. They prefer to have a local administration in Gaza by local Gazans instead of a government from the West Bank sending their people to enter the Gaza arena and govern there. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas might ask Shtaya to stay on until they've found a replacement for his position. A 25-year-old U.S. Air Force soldier named Aaron Bushnell set himself on fire outside of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., reportedly protesting what he called a genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Despite efforts to save him, Bushnell succumbed to his wounds, according to American media. In a video posted online, Bushnell, dressed in military attire, identified himself as an active duty Air Force member before dousing and igniting himself and then shouting, "Free Palestine!" The incident is similar to a December event where a protester set herself on fire outside the Israeli consulate in Atlanta. Allegations of genocide in Gaza have persisted since Israel's military response to the October 7th attack, with ongoing legal and international ramifications. Top news today includes a lot of action at the Northern Front. The IDF and Hezbollah continue to exchange fire with several rockets and missiles launched from both sides. The IDF also struck Hezbollah targets deep inside Lebanon near the Syria border for the first time in a town called Baalbek. This was in response to alerts triggered in Alon HaTavor near Afula in the north of Israel. According to the IDF, the alerts were triggered by David's Sling aerial defense system, which intercepted a missile that was fired toward an Israeli Air Force UAV operating in Lebanon. The UAV fell inside Lebanese territory, and debris from David's Sling reportedly fell in Israeli territory as well. One person has been hurt from shellings coming out of Lebanon into Israel. Hezbollah says two of their members have been killed in a recent IDF airstrike. Sunday, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant announced an intensification of strikes against Hezbollah in retaliation to the group's daily assaults on northern Israel. This escalation will continue even amidst a possible temporary ceasefire in Gaza. Gallant points out that Hezbollah faces a big disadvantage at this point because Israel has killed so many of its leadership. Gallant says this objective is clear: to push Hezbollah back, whether through negotiation or force. He also emphasized that any temporary truce in Gaza would see an increase in operations against Hezbollah in the north, aiming for their complete withdrawal from the border and the safe return of approximately 80,000 displaced Israelis who are no longer living in the north of Israel because it is not safe enough. However, that could take some time. Israel is planning to prolong the evacuation of communities near the Lebanon border until July or August of this year, so that's 2024. This development indicates the IDF's anticipation of continued fighting with Hezbollah and the possibility of a larger military engagement. The IDF informed the family of Sergeant Oz Daniel, who was kidnapped on October 7th, that he was killed in captivity. His body is still being held by Hamas. Sergeant Oz was stationed on the border on October 7th and was kidnapped with his other tank mates. We here at the Israel Daily News podcast send out our heartfelt condolences to the family, friends, and colleagues. Yesterday, so that's Sunday, Prime Minister Netanyahu announced on CBS News that Israel is approving the Rafah attack plan. This includes civilian evacuation plans from the area. Although the operations will be approved today, it can take weeks before the operation is carried out. Netanyahu also said, "From the moment we start operating in Rafah, we will be weeks away from complete victory." End quote. Last night, so Sunday night, the War Cabinet met at 8 p.m. They discussed the latest information on the hostage deal, as well as the operation in Rafah. The IDF presented the plan to evacuate the population from the fighting zones in Gaza and the operational plans for the continuation of it. The plan for humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip was approved in a way that would prevent the looting that occurred in the north of the Gaza Strip and in other areas during past shipments. When shipments came into Gaza, you saw videos of people jumping on the backs of trucks, throwing the materials over the top, and sort of chaos breaking out. Much of those news bites you just heard were powered by our new partner, Bernie News Network, also known as BNN. For fast and precise updates, you can join BNN on WhatsApp and Telegram by going to their site, bernie.news. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, or world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News Podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good to you. To make a one-time contribution to fund our special wartime coverage, which we take very seriously, you can just type in my name, Shanna Fold, and GoFundMe into Google. You'll find that right away. If you've heard your name or you've donated, send me an email with your mailing address at shannafold@gmail.com, and I'll respond with a handwritten note to show my appreciation. If any of you are interested in my live event, I'm doing Israel Daily News Live on March 6th in Tel Aviv. Do send me a note if you're going to be in town. I'm having a private event with the first ever live broadcast of the Israel Daily News podcast in front of a live studio audience. So that is going to be fun. We're going to have a leadership panel, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. Corporal Ori Megidish, who was taken captive by Hamas on October 7th and subsequently rescued by special forces from the Gaza Strip some 23 days later, rejoined the Army service today. She will now be serving in the IDF's Military Intelligence Directorate. This young woman is 18 years old, and she chose this all on her own. The IDF says her return to service is driven by her own personal aspiration and commitment to serving her country. Kol hakavod, all the respect, goes to this young woman. Israelis are hitting the polls tomorrow, so that's Tuesday. Many places will be closed, including offices, museums, so keep an ear and an eye on that in case you're planning on going somewhere. These elections are for municipalities, meaning that Israelis are now electing their next mayors and council members. Municipal elections were originally scheduled for October 31st of 2023, but were pushed back due to the outbreak of war on October 7th. I remember that clearly. I was hosting candidates, and we actually canceled our candidates from coming to speak in front of the Olim Chadashim, the new immigrants of Tel Aviv. I do programming for Olim in English so that people that are new here can understand what's going on in the political arena. We actually had to cancel and push back that event, but we did move forward with it just some weeks ago with the second after Orna Barbivai. I'm going to tell you all about her. She's the Tel Aviv mayoral candidate. The elections are for municipalities. So you can expect people to be electing their mayors, their council members. 7 million eligible voters will be going to the polls, or at least they're able to go to the polls, throughout 197 municipal authorities in Israel and 44 local councils. However, areas still under attack will defer elections until 9 months from now, on November 19th. This affects towns like Kiryat Shmona in the north, Shlomi and Sderot in the south, as well as regional councils housing kibbutzim, moshavim, and Arab villages. They just might not be safe enough to return to their districts to vote tomorrow. Security evaluations will be conducted by the Interior Ministry every 2 hours on Election Day, coordinating with the IDF and Israel police to ensure voter safety amid the voting. The political landscape has shifted dramatically since the outbreak of war, with Hamas redirecting public attention from domestic issues to security concerns and military expectations. The elections will involve 24,910 candidates competing for positions in municipalities, with an unexpected turnout that could be influenced by the ongoing conflict and fears of rocket attacks. We do not know if it's going to be a big turnout because maybe people are feeling patriotic. Maybe no one's going to come out because they're afraid. Soldiers and reservists stationed in conflict zones will still have the opportunity to vote through special measures, but final results may be delayed due to logistical challenges. Here in Israel, if you want to vote, you have to show up in person to your place. You cannot do a write-in ballot. A lot of Israelis return to the Holy Land in person, on a plane, to vote. It's not like in the United States where you can do an absentee ballot. So a lot of people will be going back to their hometowns to get their votes in. There are three big cities in Israel. If you didn't know, we have Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Haifa. Let's get the gist of what's going on in each of them. In Jerusalem, Mayor Moshe Yeleon is up for re-election, which would afford him another five-year term. The current campaign lacks excitement since there are no significant challengers. He's celebrated for his reputation in enhancing the city's infrastructure and education, particularly in East Jerusalem, which has a majority Arab population. Leon's dedication to improving resources in these areas contrasts with historical neglect it has faced from previous administrations, earning him respect among his constituents. He's done a lot of construction projects and turned Jerusalem into a much more beautiful city while maintaining the archaeological historical vibe. His current deputy mayor, Flor Hassan Nahum, is an immigrant from the United Kingdom who is outstanding for her work. She will be joining the Israel Daily News for our first ever live panel in Tel Aviv on March 6th. We are going to be discussing leadership, the future of Israel, and how to carve pathways for young people to help get them into leadership roles. And Flor Hassan Nahum, the deputy mayor of Jerusalem, is really a big part of that effort today. So she's going to be on our panel, along with member of Knesset Sharon Haskel, Liat Cohen Raviv, who is an advisor and consultant to diplomats. We're going to have two teen leaders. We're going to have remarks from former ambassador from Israel to the United States, Ido Aharoni. And it's just going to be an excellent late afternoon of a live broadcast followed by the panel. We're going to have music. We're going to have it all. If you're going to be in Tel Aviv and you're interested in this, send me a message. Tel Aviv stands as a major economic and cultural hub in Israel, second only to Jerusalem in importance. With a budget comparable to that of a medium-sized ministry, Tel Aviv is working with 7 billion shekels, or about 1.9 billion U.S. dollars. 3 billion shekels of it is allocated just for municipal infrastructure development. There are huge projects going on here in Tel Aviv, most notably the light rail. Tel Aviv maintains the largest cultural budget in the nation, trailing only the culture ministry. In the upcoming elections, the incumbent mayor, Ron Huldai, a retired brigadier general and seasoned fighter pilot, has been in office for 25 years straight, and some people are ready to let him go. He faces competition from retired Major General Orna Barbivai. Barbivai, a woman, is formerly the head of the IDF's personnel directorate and a former economy minister. She brings extensive organizational management experience and is backed by the national political party Yesh Atid, for which former Prime Minister Yair Lapid is the chairman. Despite Barbivai's qualifications, she faces the challenge of unseating the popular incumbent, Huldai, who is, for the most part, beloved by Tel Avivis. Over in Haifa, current mayor Einat Kalish Rotem made history as the city's first female mayor upon her election in 2018. However, her tenure has been marked by ongoing disputes with the public regarding environmental policies, construction projects, and most notably the issue of wild boars that roam the city. Yes, I said wild boars, as in pigs. Rotem advocated against selective slaughtering of these animals due to ethical concerns, while residents expressed their dismay and upset over the rapid reproduction. Those wild boars are known to cause major disruptions and can even be violent. As a result, Rotem is anticipated to lose to former mayor Yona Yahav in the upcoming election. We will be back with all the results when it's all counted, and we'll let you know who won in these local elections. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Monday, February 26, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 13 degrees Celsius and a high of 20 degrees. That's 56 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 68 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at our website, israeldailynews.org. That's israeldailynews.org. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off now with a song called Dublin Day by Ariella Zaitlin. She's a talented violinist. Enjoy her song. Have a great and productive day. And if you're here in Israel, don't forget to go out and vote in your municipal elections.